In the midst of this global crisis, the voices for justice are revealing what really matters. It is time for Planetary Makeover. Here we feature solutions and modern miracles in documentary videos that offer hope for our future and remind us all of our spiritual source. Long ago, it was forecast that at this time in history, extraordinary teachers, including the World Teacher, would emerge to help us as we build a world that works for everyone. Now, here's your host of Planetary Makeover, Mr. David Minot.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Planetary Makeover. This is an unusual episode where I'll be working with a friend of mine, Cindy Bruder, who you see here beside me, who is also a long-term student of the Ageless Wisdom Teaching. And of course, this episode is Humanity is Throughout the Cosmos, UFOs and the Space Brothers. And as always, we want to remind you before we begin that we're not here to convince you of anything. What we're asking is that you consider with a truly open mind, which is a very rare human attribute, to be open to the idea of a world of peace and love and synthesis and harmony and justice, and that this world we can bring about. And if you're wondering how, well, of course, we always assert that we have assistance of an extraordinary kind and that humanity is not alone. This will be done with the inspiration of the World Teacher for all of humanity, Maitreya, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. Now, as you may or may not know, these figures have been predicted for thousands of years by all the world's major religions, as well as some of the philosophies as well. It's the Christ for the Jews. It's the Messiah for the Muslims. It's the Imam Mahdi. For the Hindus, it's the Kalki Avatar. And for the Buddhists, it's Maitreya. They got the name right. However, remember that Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom are not religious figures per se. Rather, they're spiritual teachers, teachers in the broadest sense. And they're here for everyone. And this, believe it or not, is considered the most important event in the history of mankind. But once again, as I said at the outset, don't believe us. Listen to your own intuition. And remember that Maitreya and the Masters love everyone unconditionally, from the fundamentalists of every ilk to the agnostics and atheists. And remember, too, that Maitreya is an avatar wielding energies that have never before been expressed in quite this way on the planet. And that's partly because he's overshadowed in turn by avatars as well of peace and equilibrium, synthesis, and another energy that we don't even have a name for yet. So bear this all in mind when you're listening to this story. And also, I want to mention that sometimes I forget that what we're coming out of is the age of Pisces and going into the age of, some of you may chuckle because you're thinking of that pop song from the 60s, but remember that said the dawning of the age of Aquarius. This is not astrologically based, but astronomically. The planet was oriented towards the constellation of Pisces for the past 2,000 years, and now it's moving into orientation to the constellation of Aquarius for the next 2,000 years. So this is not a passing fad. This is an energy and an age and a philosophy and change that will be with us for quite some time. Now, there are many writings, too, about Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom that you can reference. You don't have to come to us for that. Beginning with, in the modern era, the Theosophical Society and Madame Blavatsky. After her, it was Helena Rodrick, then Alice Bailey, and then most recently, Benjamin Krem. And these writings are designed to stimulate both the mind and the intuition. So just reading it or listening to it on one of the recordings is transformative in a way that does not interfere with your free will. And last, Cindy and I will take you on a journey through some astounding events that are taking place now and which are signposts along the way pointing to the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters. And with that, we will begin the slideshow and take it away, Cindy.
There we go. This is about humanity is throughout the cosmos, UFOs and the Space Brothers.
Now, one of the things I didn't say in my intro is that the Space Brothers have been visiting the Earth since time immemorial. In fact, we didn't talk about them at all. And particularly in the last, say, 300,000 years, but we don't have any recordings from that time. So I thought that we would start with a copy of a fresco from the 15th century, which is as the text displays here, it's John, the Apostle John, and a young student. And there seems to be a glowing object beaming a light from the upper left-hand corner at John's head. And conversely, on the other side, you see another disc-like object, which is shooting a beam off to the side of the image. Oh. And there are many pictures like this throughout history.
Now, the UFOs, there's reports that we can see them and then they disappear. That there was a report that came out from the Pentagon this past week, which a lot of people have heard of. And, you know, some of the report talks about the UFOs disappearing. That's because they are at a higher vibrational level. So they do appear half solid and they're half in the etheric.
And one of the things that we talked about in the Ageless Wisdom teaching, which we will only touch upon briefly here for the sake of time, is that above the three levels of matter that we're familiar with, gaseous, liquid, and solid, there are four more levels of etheric matter. You know, when someone says they can see your aura, that's evidence of the lowest of those four. And here we have a greater description. The spacecraft are composed of etheric matter, which technically is physical, but not dense physical. And they lower their vibration when they come into our atmosphere in order that we may see them, because they don't need to lower their vibration ordinarily. It's just to make themselves known. And if they encounter hostility or fear, or they're ready to leave the atmosphere, they can raise their vibration back up to the etheric level, and they seem to disappear from our sight, though actually they're still there. So if you see one, it's because they let you see them. And if you don't respond with fear, you might get a really good look at it.
Here's a picture from Georgia Mansky. Georgia Mansky was an author in the 1940s or 50s.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And he took some of the best pictures of the mid 20th century. Another one showing I forget the name of them. The three balls you see in the bottom are help with landing, and they also serve to balance the craft while it's in flight. That is a study in itself and would take some time to explain. But given our time constraints, we'll just have to have another show on the Space Brothers.
Now, our information comes from Mr. Krem's book, The Gathering of the Forces of Light and UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission. This is one of many books that Ben Krem has written. There are other UFO specific books that are available through either George Szymanski or Gerard Arts, and we'll cover that later. But we've seen, a number of pictures of UFOs over the recent past. Certainly they seem to be more visible in their appearance outwardly to us. Here's one over China, one over California, Mount Shasta region.
And here they're sort of disguising themselves with a cloud.
And this particular picture was taken by David.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've seen it. It can be seen in my town of Boston. Cindy can also see it from where she is. You're about 30 miles north, right?
Yes, yes. Another spacecraft.
And these can be seen all over the planet. Share International put out a press release back in, December of 2008? Where we said there would be a sign before Maitreya did his first major television interview. Shortly thereafter, we saw these four craft in sort of the four corners of the sky, visible from anywhere on the planet. Sort of a blinking mechanical light, as Cindy has put it.
Yeah.
Change color, rotate, move, get larger and smaller. Planets don't do that. Stars don't do that. They have their own fixed position.
Mm-hmm.
Planets have their own fixed and so on, which they cannot deviate from, and their color doesn't change.
Now, we had we're talking about UFOs and their spiritual mission. They're here for a number of different reasons. One of the major things that they are doing for Earth humanity is they are mopping up some of the pollution, especially the nuclear radiation. We don't realize just how toxic that is to us and our auras and our etheric bodies, our, this finer physical matter bodies of ours, David alluded to, our auras, things like that. They also mop up some of the other toxins, pollution, but they can't take care of it all. It's our house. We are responsible for cleaning it up. We are responsible for understanding that we can't just unlimitedly pollute our environment. The other thing that the Space Brothers are busy doing is they're energizing the Earth's magnetic grid. This is where you see the crop circles, or a visualization of some of the vortices that they are creating. This technology will be used going forward in our technologies of transportation and healing and different things like that going forward. They're obviously ahead of us in terms of understanding things, and we'll be a beneficiary of that. As I mentioned, crop circles, it's a way of saying, hey, we're here, but it unknown to us necessarily, they are creating this magnetic grid around the Earth. Eventually, when Earth humanity is mature enough, we will be given 100% free, unlimited energy. But until we stop blowing each other up, we aren't responsible enough for this technology, so we will not be given it until humanity is far enough along in our evolution.
And it's sooner than something.
Now,
go ahead, Cindy.
David talked about this a little bit. And he talked about the star, and there are four UFOs. You want to talk about that, David?
Yes. Since that press release we put out in 2008, people all over the world have been taking pictures of these craft, people that have nothing to do with the Aegis Wisdom teaching or Share International or anyone else from the esoteric side of things who's interested in these craft. And They are literally giving off love energy. Cindy had mentioned how advanced they are. They're thousands of years ahead of us technologically, and this is key, spiritually. No war, no poverty, no conflicts, none of those things. And as Cindy has also said many times when she has described it, it has a mechanical blink. And that's one clue when you see it that you know that it's one of the stars. And it's a huge mothership, five football fields across, actually, a huge object. And and while it will change orientation in the sky, it's pretty much visible all the time. I've noticed here it's gone from the western to the northwestern to the west-northwest sky from time to time. And it's a repeat, but on a much grander scale, of that event 2,000 years ago when we had the Star of Bethlehem. You may remember or recall or not, if you're a fan, that Neil Young put out a song in 1975 called The Star of Bethlehem, a duet with Emmylou Harris. And at the end of the song, he says, maybe the Star of Bethlehem isn't a star at all. And at the time, I don't know what he was talking about. I just found that annoying. What's he mean? Well, now we know what he meant. And he was remarkably insightful.
Yeah, the star was a UFO at that time as well. And so the UFOs are in the sky as a star. And it's part of the forces of light. We have great teachers coming to help humanity. A lot of them are already here. And they are in the process of emerging into the everyday life. We will eventually recognize them. A lot of people are becoming more and more perceptive to the energies coming in, to spiritual impressions from our older brothers and sisters, these masters of wisdom that are here to help.
And also, since they are here to teach and help humanity, as Cindy mentioned, they'll be touring the world, giving lectures. You may even be able to speak to one day in the not too distant future.
Here's a video of UFOs over Mexico a few years back, but you can find all kinds of videos up on YouTube, of course, and the internet of different UFO phenomena. Even the U.S. government has pretty recently released some UFOs or some videos that they've taken of the unidentified flying objects is what they, what do they call them? UAPs, phenomena.
And this video shows a whole flotilla of UFOs, which have been seen for hundreds of years as well. If one reads George Adamski's Inside the Spaceships, he recounts testimony from people over the last about 300 years of people witnessing multiple UFOs. Mm-hmm. And this is nothing new. And we also see it in a lot of artwork, not just the one that I showed you earlier.
As David mentioned, it's often easy to find the UFO that's posing as one of the four stars around the Earth. This is one that was taken over Columbia. Dave has taken quite a few pictures over the Boston area.
Oh, and we can go through these. We can slow down a little bit because it looks like we are right on track time-wise. Yes, later on you'll see some pictures I've taken. This one over Russia is quite common. The diamond shape with the rounded edges, that is seen all over the globe, including some of the pictures you'll see that I took here. But there are some variations, and you may wonder why they change, like the light patterns, which we'll also show you a picture of later on. And that is to keep humanity's interest. If it stayed the same all the time, we might start to ignore it.
This is a UFO that was a spiral over Norway. I think the U.S. government originally wrote it off as a missile gone bad, but it's pretty distinct to be. And here's another.
Do we have a video of that one?
No, we don't.
This one you can see online. You can look it up. And it's making perfect concentric circles over and over and over. And an out-of-control rocket couldn't possibly do that. It might spin a couple of times, but it would be all over the place. Pretty chaotic. So this is pretty hard to explain any other way.
Countryside, rational explanations aren't quite so easy to come by.
This is a video of UFOs making crop circles here in the second. Oh, there we go. You'll be able to see the spacecraft. And then this is all done by thought form. The patterns are created in our space brother's mind. And I don't understand the exact phenomena, but obviously, they've created some pretty intricate patterns. Some seem to have some coded messages in them. And like I said, these are calling cards. They're underlie the vortices that the space brothers are creating to create that magnetic grid around the Earth.
Mm-hmm. And they're, as Cindy said, they are kind of a calling card. And as Ben Krem put it, they are the masters saying, some of the space brothers are masters. The space brothers saying, here's an example of our work. We hope you like the drawing. And they are beautiful drawings. My understanding is that they are based on the number 9 as opposed to our basis numerically on 10. And that it's something eventually in the future humanity will adopt as well. And as Cindy mentioned, these are designs thought up spontaneously by the Space Brothers, often on the spot. And the little glowing balls you see there may be akin to what they called the Foo Fighters back in World War II. Both the Allies and the Axis powers reported seeing balls of light beside their aircraft, and each one thought it was a secret weapon from the other side. What these actually were are listening devices that the Space Brothers craft release in order to monitor the behavior of our aircraft, in that case, in the war scenario, and even as listening devices to hear the conversations in the craft between the occupants. And what we saw there might have been those little balls of light coming down from the ship itself and creating the designs, such as the ones you see in front of you here, and then scurrying back to the ship. Ben had talked about them, saying that they come down occasionally, and he'd seen them, and he said they fly by so close he has to duck his head. But it's really just sort of a hello.
Now, obviously, we've seen a number of videos.
And Cindy, you can linger on the Huntington Beach one for a little while. The previous one, that's clips from from the short video. And go ahead. I'm sorry. I meant go ahead with your explanation. The slides can wait. You go first.
Sorry. I'm not familiar with this particular video, but obviously there's a lot of videos. You can do a search for the star up on YouTube, and you'll come up with quite a few videos of UFO or a luminary changing colors like this particular picture here.
And the reason I thought of you, Cindy, was how you had reminded me, which is something that I hadn't thought of up to that point, of the star as having a mechanical blink. And to tie that in with your descriptions of the star over the year. We see here frames from a video where it shows it blinking, so to speak, and changing color, which mm-hmm. is that we have talked about. And here is an actual demonstration of that.
Yeah.
And this is one that I took
last week.
Yeah, a short while ago. And this is a still, obviously. And it does change shape and size while I'm taking the picture, which sometimes can be a little maddening because it will fade in and then fade out. And if I don't catch it at just the right moment, then all you see is a blur or you see a gray object on a black background. And this is something that we see on a nightly basis practically over Boston, though not right now because it's pretty cloudy out there, so I won't be seeing them tonight. And it does change color. It does get larger and smaller. It changes shape. As I said, sometimes while you're taking the picture, which can be pretty humorous. And they also say, and Cindy's aware of this too, that the occupants are telepathic. And so if you ask them to make an appearance, who knows, maybe they'll show up. They're not at our beck and call, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And when you do see them, to ask them, could they possibly sit still for a moment? Because I have a heck of a time capturing these images, and this is only one of several, but the others weren't quite up to snuff. So we just have to, catch that tiger by a tail and just hang on for dear life when we're taking these pictures.
It's another picture that came from somewhere.
And the audience might want to bear in mind, is the underside of a huge craft that we're seeing. And if you're wondering why it's not perfectly clear, remember, these craft are composed of etheric matter. And even what you're seeing here is not really their quote unquote natural state. They have to work just to show us this much. And so that's why they seem a bit fuzzy, because they're sort of in the world, but not of it.
Another one.
Yep. That much like the one in Russia. And this is one that I see over Boston too. And that shape you saw before over Boston, sometimes it'll change into that. And then other times it will change into a circular light that has like a point of light jutting out on all four corners. And I think you may see one of those later on in a collage. Oh, yep. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, here it is. Though I wasn't quite able to capture it in this image. One of the ones closest to that would be at the bottom in the center. That mm-hmm. bottom center one was one of the first pictures I ever took in January of 2009. All the rest came much later. And all these different shapes are what we've seen over Boston. And the pentagon shape, I've seen it go from that to the round shape you see beside it during the same photo session, just seconds apart. And once again, you have to be patient because we haven't got it at the end of a string. We can't request them to show up. You take your chances.
Yeah. Well, you've certainly taken some phenomenal pictures, David, my cell phone camera doesn't do the same, but you've got some decent equipment that you can get some really spectacular photos. And this collage just is, it's very impressive. You know, the work of the UFOs and the different colors and varieties that they show up in.
Thank you. Yes. And maybe with the telepathy, they know that I love science fiction and anything associated with space. From the time I was little, I went nuts over Star Trek and Lost in Space and all the rest of them. And maybe that's why I was given such opportunities to see the star over Boston again and again. Because we have friends who also have studied this material who would like to see it, but don't see it quite as often. Of course, part of the problem, as I've stated, is that it can show up on the western, northwestern, eastern, southern sky just before nightfall. And if you don't catch it within that hour or two, you can't see it. Before then, the sun is too bright, and after that, it's gone below the horizon line. Though there is one, though it's not in this collage, that I took probably around 5:30, and you can see the sky is still blue behind it.
I've tended to see them different times, but you know, they'll appear, they'll kind of be in one spot for a couple of months, and then they'll move and be in a different spot. So right now, David said they're kind of low on the horizon first part of the evening. This is another phenomena that we see all over Massachusetts, but not just limited to Massachusetts. I've seen, you know, plenty of them out in California, and there are pictures of these circles of light all over Europe, all over the U.S., and different parts of the world. The sun reflects off of the windows of an adjacent building, and it creates this light manifestation. These are not exactly a crop circle, but they are manifested by the UFOs in conjunction with Maitreya, again, as a calling card, as a let us know that there's something different here. There's something behind the scenes that, you know, we don't quite understand yet. But these are easy to see when the sun is low in the sky. So early in the morning, early-ish in the morning or afternoon, drive into the sun. The sun reflects off of the windows of the building you just passed onto the side of the building in front of you, and just go a couple of blocks, you'll see them all over New England for sure, and you know, most likely other parts of the world as well.
Yes, they've been appearing now, I understand, since the 90s, and they are, as Cindy has already stated, a collaboration between Maitreya and the Space Brothers. Maitreya decides where they go, and the Space Brothers create them and put them in place. This is on Clarendon Street on a side of a parking garage, and you can see the woman walking below for scale. But as Cindy has also stated, you will see them in your town, all over the country, and now in nearly every country of the world now, I believe.
Yeah.
And people have asked Ben, do these have healing properties? Well, no, not per se. However, there have been times when these lights have given some type of healing energy. It's not their general purpose, but it has been known to happen. And of course, since it's a positive sign, it probably put a smile on your face. And here we have some of the books by Benjamin Krem. The one on the far left, which is directly associated to the phenomena of the Space Brothers and highly recommended. You can find that online. And of course, The Awakening of Humanity is a companion book, which is also very instructive. And since all of Ben's books are linked, it's just as important to read.
Mm-hmm. The we mentioned that some of our latest and greatest information is from this book, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, and some of Ben Krem's information on what's going on. But it's, as we've been talking about, it's part of a bigger phenomenon. It's a return into the everyday world of the world teacher. The teacher for humanity going forward. We're going into the Aquarian age, new energies coming into play. Teachers come to humanity periodically. And we've heard of many of the teachers in the past, you know, Jesus and Krishna and Muhammad and Buddha and Sakrachara and Hermes and Hercules and Confucius. And, you know, you've heard of a lot of these teachers over the course of time, and they appear to humanity periodically. Give some information that's pertinent to the folks at the time. And you can look at any of the major religious texts and things like that, you know, as an indication of some of the teachings that have come forward. You know, we're still working on the one that Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago, which was love. but, you know, we're ready to learn some more. So the teachers are back in the world. Only difference is instead of just one, they're coming back as a group. To help humanity. And that's where the second book is comes in, the awakening of humanity, the shift in our consciousness, the future, at least the next, you know, couple hundred years, what we can expect and how all of this is shifting. We're going into 1,000 years of peace. It doesn't seem like that right now. When you look at the nightly news and things like that, but this really is a message of hope. That these folks are here to help, to guide. Now, if we're wise, we will listen and we will take heed. And humanity is obviously, you know, starting to wake up and be more perceptive to the changes. You know, we're starting to realize that, you know, geez, climate, you know, there's an issue there. We need to pay attention to that. You know, we're trying to grow as humanity and work together, you know, in groups and help each other. And we're learning more and more about that. There's another aspect to our work, and that's this other third book. These last two books are available online for free for downloading if you'd like. Transmission Meditation. The reason why we include this book is that the new energies coming in for the age of Aquarius are too high for most of humanity, and they will tend to bounce off. You know, most of us are kind of like bricks. You know, we don't absorb so much sometimes, but we act as step down transformers. We get together as a group of three people or more because the energies for the age of Aquarius only work through groups. So we have to kind of get over ourselves and learn to work as a group, learn to work with our fellow humans, get whatever work we need to get done without getting caught up with the personalities and tripped up by that. And part of the transmission meditation kind of, it's a group work. It helps with that. It can be equivalent to 10 to 20 years of meditating on your own. That's how powerful it is.
And Cindy's been doing it a lot longer than I have and is better at it. Frankly, I believe.
I don't want that. Well, you know, everybody that I talk to says, oh, I'm terrible at meditation. Well, you're in the right club. Because guess what? Everybody has problems with meditation. And, you know, even after many years of meditating, you know, there's times when I'm like, you know, it's my turn to sleep in the circle, you know, or whatever. And then there's other days I'm like, wow, I felt like I actually paid attention, you know, for the meditation. So don't beat yourself up. The point is to start meditating, even if it's for 5 minutes a day, you know, kind of focusing on your breath. The idea behind meditation is to sort of empty your mind, but don't beat yourself up. You know, when you notice that your mind is wandering, you know, bring your mind back to your breath. Focus on your breath, and it's going to go off in another direction. Gently bring it back. This transmission meditation, it is a working meditation. We get together again, like I said, as a group. More energies can go through a triad than through three individuals. And the Masters of Wisdom look at the folks in the group, channel planetary and cosmic energies through those folks, use us as step-down transformers for those energies to make them more absorbable for humanity. Because like I said, the new energies coming in are basically too strong for where humanity is at right now. So yeah. This is very helpful. And you can experience a lot of spiritual growth in this lifetime with any kind of meditation, but especially with the transmission meditation. Do you have something to add, Dave?
Oh, yeah. You froze there for just a second, but then you unfroze. I was going to say, yes, to tie this into the Space Brothers, people had asked Ben, wrote into him and said, well, are the Space Brothers involved in this too? And he had said, well, no, they have their own spiritual path, their own meditating that they're doing. But certainly us practicing transmission meditation will make us more open to their message and to their lifestyle, as it were, their mode of thinking and doing things that we need to adopt here in order to survive the transitory period that we're going through. And Cindy had also mentioned about concentration. And Ben had said, well, Americans are among the worst on the planet when it comes to concentration and meditating. And that's partly because of commercial television. You'll be watching a show for, say, 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's broken up by a bunch of quickly edited images, loud noises, flashing lights, commercials, in other words. And then you go back to the show for another 10 minutes, and then it happens all over again. This has a tendency to shatter attention span. And Cindy had said meditation, just think om. And me, I was thinking, okay, I got to pull the attention from the solar plexus to the Ajna Center and say om silently. And instead, Cindy had just come up with, think om. And that for me was liberating because it was a shortcut. And here's some of the books we wanted to tell you about. Cindy, if you want to start talking about those, I'm going to do something unorthodox and go grab the books because they're just out of reach over here. I'll be right back.
Not a problem.
Go ahead.
If you're really interested in more of the UFO information and what's going on with there, Georgian Mansky and Gerard Artson's books. Gerard Artson is one of our former co-workers in the Netherlands. He's very familiar with the story of Maitreya and the Masters coming back into the world and how all this relates and the UFOs here to help us and what have you. He's put together some phenomenal books in the very recent past, including, I think, the past year he published one. His stuff is available up on the website here. You had some more information about it, David?
Ooh, there's one of the books right there that you see up close. And that photo is related to one we showed earlier of a UFO showing up at the Chinese airport. And this is, I think the photograph is from Europe. You actually see a UFO in front of the sun. I love the quote, message from space, life is one, so live as one or perish. And of course, this one, Priorities for a Planet in Transition. All these are available online and highly recommended. This one, I wasn't able to get into the slideshow in time, but it's from George Adamski. And one of his books that lay undiscovered for some time is called The Invisible Ocean in the Sea of Consciousness, also available at Gerard's site, which we will give you the URL for. And of course, Ben's.
Yeah.
Also highly.
So there's a lot of information out there. You know, we're interested in the UFOs and their spiritual mission because, you know, we understand how that ties in with Maitreya and the Master's wisdom and their return into the everyday world. You know, so this is all connected, which is pretty amazing.
And we do, do we have a slide that we had set aside for that? On the Masters of Wisdom, is it possible to share that one? Or does that have to wait for? Should we wait for another show?
Probably wait for another show. I could spend all afternoon trying to find my file.
That's right, and we do have a lot more pictures to show you. And one of the things we discuss towards the end is where you can get some more of this information, and not just from the sites that we have there, but from share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. S-H-A-R-E-E-C-A-R-T.com. And some of the things you'll find there are one of Ben's talks, The Overcoming of Fear by Benjamin Krem. And this image right here is the painting of his, oil painting, which we have as a lithograph called Meditation. And there it is, right there above me, so that I can look at it when we're meditating here. What you're seeing here is the heart chakra, and then above that, the throat chakra. And then above that, we have here the downward facing triangle would be the Ajna center between the eyebrows, and the upward facing triangle with the rounded edges would be the crown chakra. Also, Cindy had gone into length about transmission meditation. There's also a talk on CD from Ben at the site, and just a general talk by Ben about the emergence of the world teacher. And all of these are instructional and give off that same positive energy that the books do when you read them, whether it's Ben or Vatsky or Alice Bailey or Helena Rodrick, or if you're just looking at the spacecraft, which I see out the window right here. They are so advanced that their craft, not just the space brothers themselves, are literally giving off love energy. So We urge humanity not to be afraid, not to respond in fear, but to respond with inquisitiveness and interest, and then to ask questions, not only of us, but of their elected officials, and demand that this information be brought to the fore. Some of the things we didn't have time to get into at length, which we will in another show, would be that information that the government has. They've had photos since the 1940s. And it's my understanding that they even had a visitation, a sit-down meeting with the Space Brothers back in the 50s. I believe that was Eisenhower and Vice President Nixon. And I'm not sure, Cindy, if that's in one of Ben's book or one in Gerard's books, but I know.
I'm not sure. It might be in both. So, but, you know, the point of all this is the UFOs, the Space Brothers, they are here to help us. You know, we are just so behind. We're dragging the rest of the universe behind because, you know, we're still blowing each other up. We're still, you know, focused on destroying each other, not building each other up. And, you know, we're going into 1,000 years of peace. We're going into the Aquarian Age. The keynotes for the Aquarian Age are cohesiveness, cooperation,
compassion.
Compassion, you know, together. So, like I said, the new energies coming in have to work through groups. That's the most effective way for those energies. So we need to learn to get along with each other. You know, but they're, like I said, they are here to help. We would all be dead if it wasn't for the Space Brothers mopping up a lot of the nuclear radiation and some of the pollution, because we just are clueless as how toxic some of this stuff is to us. And, you know, they don't remove everything, but they obviously keep enough, pull enough out and mitigate enough of it to keep us alive until, you know, hopefully we wake up as humanity before we blow each other up forever. And, you know, so,
but yes. And as Cindy mentioned also earlier in the slide presentation, the nuclear waste that we have is giving off radiation, not just on the dense physical, but on the etheric planes of matter. And it's extremely deadly. In fact, it's the most dangerous toxin mankind has released to date, which in the Bible, I think, was referred to as, I'm not sure if they're referring to that exactly, but it's the same principle, that which stands where it ought not. And we're not only burying it in mountains and in the ground, we're tossing it in the ocean. And because it's releasing radiation, not just on the dense physical, but on the etheric planes of matter, it's passing right through the containers that it's put in. And the Space Brothers, to the fullest extent available by karmic law, are mopping that up. As Cindy pointed out, if they hadn't been doing that, this planet might be uninhabitable even now. So they can't clean it up completely because that would be too parental, but they're doing it to the fullest extent possible. So that, as Cindy said, we won't destroy ourselves before we learn our lesson and join the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
George Adamski had said that the U.S. is sort of the U.S. The U.S., yes, the U.S. And the rest of the planet is sort of a proving ground. It's a life lesson, a hard lesson planet in the system. And that once it has learned its lesson and joined its brethren in the solar system, there will be great rejoicing.
Yeah.
Oh, and before we wrap up, I'm supposed to mention also Share International Magazine, but since we're having this particular kind of episode, I wanted to show you that I'm not the only one taking pictures. We've got them all over the place. Where is that one? That one's in Colorado. This one right here. And one below it is in Ontario. That one right there. Another mini flotilla. Another one in Florida. And that one's in Ireland. It looks like, looks like they've got a pyramid there in Ireland. But it's fascinating stuff.
One of the things that we didn't really focus on is this website, share-international.org. There's an absolute wealth of information up there that's available. There's some videos of different talks about, you know, the gathering of the forces of light, about transmission meditation. There's some free book downloads that are available. There's a lot happening. It's, like I said, it's a message of hope. We're going into 1,000 years of peace, even though it doesn't seem like it. And I'm heartened by the amount of focus on the climate emergency now. Obviously, we're waking up to the, oh boy, we better do something and better do it quick. And I think one of the things that was written in the books is that when we make the decision, we will turn on a dime and there'll be phenomenal changes for the good, for humanity.
And that's one of Maitreya's major priorities too, is, as you know, Cindy, is the environment and also the starving millions. We have 25,000 people dying every day on a planet with a 12% food surplus. Nobody should be going hungry. What's missing is the political will to bring it to where it's needed.
Yeah, the five priorities are food, shelter, education, medical, and the environment. And those, that's where our focus needs to be. That's where the focus of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom are, and the UFOs to help us. And we're down to our last few moments.
We are. And I want to thank you, Cindy, for making this possible, because I could not have done it without you. And I hope that you can come back for another Planetary Makeover episode, and probably another one just on the Space Brothers, because we've just barely scratched the surface. And so thank you all for listening in, and be sure to drop off your questions at the website, planetarymakeover.org. Thank you, Cindy. And till next time, see you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Visit us on Facebook at #PlanetaryMakeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our biweekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays, Western Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, please go to share-ecart.com.